MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is the post-primer version of Mike Tagliare. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliare NFL Tags. How are you?
It's a good day. We were just talking before we got started about the Super Bowl halftime show, which is being performed by someone that you guys can talk about if you want. But basically, it brought like an idea to my mind. Are there going to be fans at the Super Bowl? Are they going to allow that this year? Because if there's no fans at the Super Bowl, that's going to be really awkward.
Oh, this is a great point. This is a great point. I guess it probably depends on where things stand at that point. But man, if there are no fans at the Super Bowl, it is going to be weird. And yeah, we're not going to talk exactly about the performer at the halftime show, because then we'd have to get into how our guest had to explain exactly who this very famous individual was and all about his music. And I'm very thankful to our guest, who is the incomparable Chris Raybon from the Action Network. You can find on Twitter at his name, at Chris Raybon, who basically had to explain the history of music to both of us in the 3 minutes before we started recording. So, Chris, thank you both for enlightening us on the history of music and the weekend, and also just for coming on the show to talk DFS. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mike and Dan. And, you know, I think that now I'm kind of curious. Is like, we need like an over-under of like how many of the past, let's say, 5 Super Bowl performers you guys do know, like Shakira, J-Lo.
I know Shakira. Come on.
Yes. Also, hey. we can be honest, Chris. I mean, Tags could not come up with that fellow who did the dancing with
Beyonce.
Oh, yeah, Bruno Mars.
No, I did not know Bruno Mars. Well, I knew exactly who he was. I couldn't remember his name. That's all.
I call foul. There's no way. There's no way. It doesn't matter. Chris is here to cool us up a little bit, at least. Thank goodness. Anyway, he's also here to talk DFS because Chris is awesome. And you should all be following his work. He's fantastic. Also, Chris, you're up there where are you right now in the accuracy competition, too? Season long. You're up there, too, right now, right?
Yeah, I don't check until like I check because I don't like to know. I feel like it influences me. So I think I was in the top 15 last week. I might have dropped this week, but yeah, I'm trying to hang in there.
Whatever. You're doing terribly then if you don't check. You're last. So whatever. Let's just go DFS. No, actually all 3 of us, I believe, are doing pretty Tags monstrous week. Last week, what were you? Number 2? Number two. Ugh, yeah. Gross. But I think we're all in the top 20, so let's just crush out this DFS show right here. Okay. Our usual plan, guys. We're starting with our favorite pricier cash game play of the week at each position. Discuss a couple of cash game value plays at each position. We'll do one GPP gamble at each position. A quick discussion of a defense you guys like. And then your stack of the week and your lock of the week. But before we get into it, let me briefly tell you about the Daily Juice podcast. As you might expect from its name, it is a daily podcast. 15 minutes waiting for you every morning when you wake up, talking about the best sports gambling plays of the day. It is hosted by Matt Perrault from Betting Pros, a longtime radio host out in Vegas. Touches on everything the NFL, of course, every other sport out there, though, including boxing and MMA, of course, the Masters that was going on right now, college football, everything you got. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts or on bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Again, the Daily Juice podcast, every day, 15 minutes when you wake up. All right, let's get into it. Let's start with our favorite pricier cash game play of the day. Chris, since you are clearly the most knowledgeable individual about world events and music and general fantasy, start us off. What do you got?
I mean, you know, fantasy, not quite my expertise, but that other stuff. So I think in cash games at quarterback, it's got to be one or the other side of this.
No. Hold on, man. I said running back.
Oh, sorry.
I get it. Quarterback is the normal way. That's actually how I start planning as well with quarterback.
Yeah.
But tags yells if I don't start with the running back. So let's start with running back. Then we'll get into quarterback later.
Oh. I'm kind of curious as to why, but I'm just going to go ahead. So Aaron Jones, 7,100 going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have a lot of positive indicators of running back success in this game. Number one positive indicator, Aaron Jones. He's been a monster for the last year and a half. People came into the year doubting that he would repeat because some big guy named AJ Dillon happened to be drafted. Like, Jamal Williams still plays ahead of him, and he's on the COVID list, or maybe he came off. I don't know. But anyway, Aaron Jones, smash spot, Jaguars defense. One of the worst overall, so that helps not only, you know, against the run, but you're going to be able to move the ball. Aaron Rodgers' only issues this year have come against pressure in that Tampa Bay game. So you're going to get Jacksonville number 21 in run defense DVOA, number 32 in pass, 32 total, 14-point favorite in a game that could be a little bit bad weather too. So you don't expect Green Bay to really go away from the ground game. Not that they do. So I love Aaron Jones here at 7,100 on DraftKings, getting a little bit of a discount, maybe because he was coming off the injury, played like 10 days ago. So love it.
Yeah, very odd, by the way, when I love the probably maybe not going to play, trending up. Oh, let's just give him 20 touches, including leaving him in the game, even when it's a complete blowout at the very end. It was very bizarre. Tags, 7,100 on DraftKings. I mean, that's got to be your guy also, right?
Yeah, he's the play. I mean, you could be worried about Aaron Rodgers kind of doing his thing like he did last week, but unfortunately, the run defense for San Francisco is much, much, much better. They've actually been really, really good, like a top five run defense, despite all the injuries they suffered. So seeing Aaron Jones back, he looked fantastic. It had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with the game script, and the team just chose to throw the ball in the red zone. You can't really blame them against that team. This one, I mean, there's 30 running back touches available against this team every single week, and they're not in blowouts every single week where they're going to be against the Packers. Everything that you want here, you know, a double-digit favorite, a home running back, a guy that's involved on all three downs. The Jacksonville Jaguars have allowed 33 or more points in four different games. Their implied team total is 33.5 points. There's nothing to dislike about Aaron Jones this week, so play him. Yeah, please play him.
Yeah, obviously Aaron Jones it's kind of the guy we all gravitated towards. Now, of course, the scoring is different, but I mean, he's what, $1,100 cheaper than Alvin Kamara on DraftKings,
yeah,
right? And he's $200 cheaper on FanDuel. So it's closer there. Obviously, the scoring is different, but that's something where it puts you at least a little bit more to a test when you're making the decision. All right, let's get to wide receiver. Not yet quarterback, Chris. We're going to get that next. But for start, for now, go to wide receiver. I'm going to make everybody wait. Who's your favorite price here cash game play?
Keenan Allen. Listen, this is a guy who he had one down game this year, and that down game consisted of him catching a touchdown. And, well, no, really his down game came against Cincinnati. So he had like 1.5 down games. The other down game came against New Orleans where he caught a touchdown. But with Justin Herbert, he had one down game, and it came in a game where he caught a touchdown and then left with back spasms. In every other game, he's caught, 7 or more passes. He's set up perfectly to be a high floor weekly play because you look at the Chargers and how they're set up on offense. Who do they have on one side on the perimeter? Mike Williams. What does he do? Run deep routes. What do you have on the other side? Jaylen Guyton. What does he do? Run even deeper routes. And then you have Hunter Henry over the middle, who still, you know, warrants some attention. And so Keenan Allen can just dog walk, you know, good cornerbacks, bad cornerbacks. It doesn't really matter because he's getting these routes where, you know, he's going to be able to win underneath and in the high percentage game, unless, you know, they want to kind of switch it up, but they haven't had to. So intermediate short area receiver who's going to catch 7+ balls each week with a quarterback who his only experience in the NFL has been just peppering Keenan Allen with targets, 7,100 on DraftKings. Love it.
Tags, agree, disagree? Who's your guy?
I have zero issue with Keenan Allen. I just think there's a better play in that price range, and it's Michael Thomas. Everybody wants to stay away from him. I don't know why. If you were to say, like, the 49ers last year, they were a better defense, correct? I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. In week 14 last year, Michael Thomas absolutely crushed this team for 11 receptions, 134 yards and a touchdown. This year, they've been a much different defense. I think everybody can see that. Davante Adams smacking them in the face last week. By the way, that Davante Adams game was the third time this year they have allowed a wide receiver 10+ receptions. That's ridiculous. You're not going to be able to run the ball in San Francisco. So Alvin Kamara is clearly going to be involved in the passing game, but it's not a great matchup for him. I would rather just go to Michael Thomas. And I do believe he's going to have 10+ targets in this game. He's going to rack up the receptions, going to rack up yards. And this is going to be the last time you're going to see him at 7,400.
So, Chris, general thoughts then on Michael Thomas. $300 more, $7,400, the fifth most expensive guy on DraftKings. Keenan Allen, the sixth.
I don't often disagree with Tags, but I think I disagree here. So you look at San Francisco. Yes, they've been, you know, not the same defense, but they are number five in DVOA versus number one wide receivers this season, according to Football Outsiders. The sharp money in Saints Niners is on the under and the 49ers. And you also look at kind of like, so the way I kind of project every, you know, pass catchers is, you know, I project their routes run, and then I, you know, have like a targets per route run, and that's how I kind of determine targets. And the difference between this year and last year with Michael Thomas is that you have Jared Cook healthy, you have Emmanuel Sanders, who's a much higher target per route guy, and even Tre'Quan Smith has been coming on in addition to Kamara being there. There's not necessarily as much of that, like, 15 catch, you know, 10 catch, 15 target upside. It's still there, but it's not as prevalent this year with Thomas, just because of the guys that are also running routes around him. And you know, Davante Adams rips everyone, but New Orleans takes pride in spreading it around, whereas Aaron Rodgers is kind of a big FU to his whole organization for not drafting another receiver. He's gonna give Adams looks. Like, I think Allen is safer. Like, I like Thomas, I like the thinking, but I still think Allen is safer for cash games based on what we've seen this year.
Yeah, I just want to come back on that Emmanuel Sanders thing, and I agree with you, and that's why I was worried about a little bit of the ceiling of Michael Thomas and, like, redraft formats this year. But Sanders, it's really weird. It's such a small sample size that I can't take too much from it, but it's only been two games, right? But when Michael Thomas is in the lineup, Emmanuel Sanders has only run 37 routes in those two games combined. Last week was a blowout, but again, Michael Thomas was out there for most of the game. Tre'Quan Smith is playing more snaps than Sanders, so that's something I'm kind of taking into consideration. And Emmanuel Sanders is playing more of his snaps in the slot than Michael Thomas in the slot. Has been like Kaywan Williams, their slot cornerback. He's going to miss this game. So I understand where you're going with that, but if he's not on the field, he's getting targeted more on a per route basis, because I don't think he's running very many routes. And Jared Cook may have gotten benched last week for his fumble near the goal line. We saw Adam Trautman play a little bit more, but I don't know. I just think that this is a team like Michael Thomas. I think we all can agree he's a young man. He's a little immature. he's a little immature. He has an ego. I think we all know that. And I think they need to feed it a little bit. Otherwise, it can get out of hand. It could be like I don't want to say a TO situation, but more of like a guy that says, hey, I want to get targets. Like, give me the damn ball. And this is a week where they can probably do that. I just like Michael Thomas a whole lot as a wide receiver. And I don't want to judge him based on his two games this year against a Bucs defense that really has had his number. You know, it's a divisional game. Carlton Davis, one of the better upcoming cornerbacks. I just don't think San Francisco has that.
Sherm might be back. He practiced. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be.
Well, Sherman comes back, I might actually upgrade Michael Thomas, because Richard Sherman was a dog at the end of last year. Like, Sammy Watkins, like, just dragged him all over the field and said, "I'm done with you."
Okay, I get it. I mean, I have a pretty big gap in my rankings with, like, I have Allen 2 and Thomas 15, so maybe I need. But I mean, that's just, like, on Allen, my initial projections. So it's like, I'm kind of just going off that. Like, I think it's a little tougher, but hey, we'll see.
I like Allen though too.
Go ahead. This was great. First of all, Tags, I would like to just make sure I don't let it pass without applauding your diplomacy in describing how you feel about Michael Thomas generally. that is well done. I think Richard Sherman, my guess is he won't play. They have a bye next week, I believe, right? So my guess is they're going to hold back Sherman unless I don't have the schedule right in my head.
This next week.
No, they could. They definitely could. But he did return to practice. So, like, there's the possibility.
That absolutely right. And I will say that I also have Allen ahead of Thomas this week. In my rankings, my initial projections, he's slightly ahead. And on FanDuel, again, the scoring is different, but Allen is $700 cheaper than Michael Thomas. So in there, he's certainly in my FanDuel lineups. But that was a great discussion, boys. And as a reward, we're going to quarterbacks, where Chris has just been asking to go the entire time. So, all right, Chris, third position up, start us at quarterback, favorite pricier cash game play of the day.
I'm getting dizzy here. Like, we're going.
That's what I do.
Oh man,
that's what I do. I just try to mix you up so you can't give good advice. Go ahead.
So I think, you know, given that, you know, we're middle of the year, we should have value at some other positions this week. So I think that it's got to be one of the two guys in this Bills Cardinals game. The over-under is shooting up. I think it's like 56.5 now. Kyler Murray, I can't seem to get his yards per carry high enough each week. He is coming up as my number one overall, you know, value in terms of projected plus minus versus his salary. And then Josh Allen right behind him. I think Murray's the safer play just because he's at home. And before Josh Allen played the spaghetti sauce Seahawks defense, he was actually struggling a little bit. And whereas the Cardinals have put up 30 straight points, 30 or more points in each of their last four games. I mean, Kyler Murray's playing himself right into this MVP discussion, whereas Allen kind of cooled off after the hot start. And then, you know, everyone goes off against the Seahawks D. So I just think if you're ranking him in terms of safety, you give the edge to Murray. But if Murray puts up points, we know quarterback production is correlated. The correlation's above 0.5 in terms of opposing quarterbacks. So either way, you should get a fine game out of Allen. But I think I like the spending the top dollar and getting Kyler in there.
Tags, I got to imagine it's one of those two guys for you too, right?
I like Kyler quite a bit. I would like him a lot more if Tre'Davious White sits, because there goes the shadow cornerback on DeAndre Hopkins.
He did return to practice today.
He did today? Okay, we'll have to see how that goes, because he has been limited earlier in the year and then they made him inactive on game day. So it's something to watch with him for sure. He hasn't even been the same player, to be honest. So I do like Kyler, but I mean, I want to talk about one other quarterback who this total's been seemingly going down really fast, and I don't know why. Houston Texans at Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson. Watson is a guy that, I mean, he hasn't averaged a whole lot of plays per game, but they throw the ball an awful lot. They throw the ball on 62% of their pass attempts, while Browns opponents have thrown the ball on nearly 61%. Those are both above average numbers, but the Browns opponents have also averaged like 68 plays per game. So it's possible that Watson has a lot, like an increased play share, I guess, this week. David Johnson is looking unlikely to play. Duke Johnson's not a guy that you want to run the ball with 18 times down the gut. Cleveland is more of a funnel defense than they are a team that you want to run the ball against. What does concern me, though, is that total dropping, because I think it started the week at 54.
And Tags, now, I think it's the weather. Wind. Yeah. It's the wind, right? Isn't there supposed to be a pretty
wind and rain and Cleveland run, like, their run heaviness in those conditions? Remember, the Raiders game was 16-6. I will say this, though, Tags, like, I actually think Watson is a great play this week. I think he's probably better for tournaments just because of that weather. But I just spent a whole podcast. Two podcasts talking about how I love the Texans at plus 3.5.
So. Oh, yes. Good. Because I'm about to do a podcast later today, Chris, where we're in the DraftKings championship, like the pick 'em with Matt Perrant. We go in and I'm glad you like them too then. I like the Texans getting the 3.5 from the Browns. So you do too? You're in on that?
Oh, like the Browns have beat the Bengals barely twice. They beat the Washington football team. And they. Oh, by the way, everyone said, oh, the wind and the weather favor and the no pressure that the Raiders get and their terrible run defense favors the Browns and at home in this environment. And then what do they do? Get blank, get scored, outscored
16-6.
Same type of game.
Yeah, anyway, Tex, that is why, because there is supposed to be some kind of nasty weather.
That's the crazy part, though. I mean, come on. We're on Thursday. I mean, weathermen, I appreciate the job they have, and I understand all that. But, I mean, this is 3 days out, guys. Like, there is – have you ever tried to plan, like, a golf day with your buddies, and you look at the calendar, and you're like, oh, okay, it's not going to rain. It's beautiful. Like, a 5% chance of rain. You get to that day, and it certainly rains. And then the days that you plan for it to rain, it doesn't. So, I don't want to build that. And yet I just think it's crazy. It's already dropped down to 49. That's a 5-point drop from where it started. So
I apologize to all weather people who are listening.
I'm not mad at them. I appreciate what they do. It's just, I'm not going to look at it until the day of.
it's fair. Although the weekend that there was the crazy, you know, the one with the Browns and the Raiders, they had that one pretty well pegged, which is basically like six games, get away from them completely. But anyway, yeah, that's fine. I mean, I get it, but that is, if you're wondering, Tags, that is the reason why. It is supposed to be some pretty bad weather there. Anyway, for my opinion on FanDuel, same thing. I mean, I like both these guys. I'm wondering, of course, it was, God, what did you say? Spaghetti sauce defense? Yeah. Whatever you said about it, Chris. Which, again, not as diplomatic as the way Dax described the Michael Thomas situation, but more appropriate, in my opinion. So I think part of it also, I'm hoping that maybe John Brown, finally at full health, also let them go. You know, they pass a lot early on downs anyway. But either one of those guys is great. But really, Murray is just, he's a model breaker. So I agree going with one of the two guys in that.
Yeah, game. Real quick. I mean, you say Murray's a model breaker. I have the numbers in front of me. On DraftKings this season, Kyler Murray has hit value in 100% of his games, outscoring his salary-based expectation by 11.96 points. By 11.96 points per game.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's great. Let's go to tight ends now. Let's go to the pricier cash game play at the position. Who's your guy, Chris?
It's got to be Darren Waller. There's just a kind of like, it's a wasteland this week. I mean, Mark Andrews cannot be trusted anymore. And then we have Kelce on a bye, and George Kittle, of course, is out for, you know, the what looks like the year. So Darren Waller coming up is my top value, 5,900. He's under that like magic 6K number where you start to really get worried about paying for tight ends. I think that, you know, in this game against Denver, you're going to see Waller keep getting targeted because you have Callahan and Bouye looking like they are going to return on the outside, and the Raider wide receivers have been hit or miss. And Derek Carr, we know he likes to go with the safer throws, and he's been good this year. And so he's getting the ball to Waller one way or another. So, like Waller.
I mean, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Waller's seen at least 6 targets in 7 of 8 games this year. Tight ends have caught 80% of their passes against the Broncos. So I have zero issues. If you can afford Waller, get him.
Yeah. No, sorry that this one's going to be a short segment, but I agree completely. I think he's really the only absolutely reliable guy you can go, and it's going to be a big game. He's 7,000 on FanDuel, but I have fit him into my lineups one way or another. Part of that is by going to cash game value plays, which is where we're going next. We're starting again with running backs here, Chris, but let's start with one. Give me a cash game value play for you at running back.
So I think the way it's, and there could be, obviously, we're recording this on Thursday, so there's a bunch of injury situations that could open up value, but the way it's looking right now, if there's, you know, no guys ruled out, I think there's value at Antonio Gibson at 5,600. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the worst run defenses in the league, and the Lions are right up there with the Packers and at the top. So Lions actually giving up the most PPR points per game, and Gibson's share of the backfield carries have gone up. You're still going to see, I think, McKissick in a hashtag revenge game get his routes, but you know, you're seeing the carry share go up for Gibson. It's in the 60s. Are better in most of the games now. So you should still be getting a good 15 touches out of him at 5,600 against the worst run defense in the league. I think you have to take it. in this kind of week. I mean, there's not a lot of guys. I think you could go James Robinson, but he's 66. I don't know if he really counts as a value play anymore. So I'm going with Antonio Gibson at 56 is, I think, the safest value play as we record this.
Yeah, I think he missed, was it a shoulder yesterday that he missed practice?
Yeah, I mean, it's Wednesday. You can't, like, don't look at Wednesday practice reports. They are tilting. They are tilting.
You're correct. And I believe that he returned to practice today. Yeah, so I think he's probably going to be fine.
They all do.
Yeah, everybody does. I know. I get, you know, panicked messages about A.J. Brown every single week. I'm like, relax. He takes off Thursdays. Chill out. All right. So Gibson tags, what do you think? 5,600. Is that a guy you want to play?
That's where the value is right now. You know, even if you remove the production that the Lions have allowed through the air to running backs, which is a lot, they have allowed 21 fantasy points per game on the ground to running backs. That's more than 10 teams have allowed to the position as a whole. Yeah, I mean, this one, I don't see any way that Detroit just blows out Washington with a defense the way that they've been playing this year. So it should be a lower scoring game. It should be somewhat of a neutral game script. So Antonio Gibson, he has been getting a lot more work in neutral game scripts. If they fall behind, that's where J.D. McKissic would come in, and that's where there's a little bit of risk built in. But that $5,600 price tag already has that risk kind of built into it, considering the matchup.
Yeah. All right, give me another guy here then, tags, other than Gibson, who you're thinking
about. I mean, Mike Davis is someone that we have to keep an eye on, like, clearly, because if Christian McCaffrey doesn't play this week, and it seems like that he's doubtful.
Mm-hmm. He's all but been declared out. They basically said there's now optimism, thankfully, with the second opinion that he's going to be back next week. So, I mean, he's out.
So Mike Davis is chalked then, right? We have to play him.
I was that was like the layup for you, Tags. Like I specifically went away because he's 4K. He's like a plus 10.
I don't need no damn layups. He's being so nice to you, Tags. Let's be honest. After you didn't know who the weekend was. Okay. So 4,000.
Yeah, he's an auto play. If McCaffrey's out, even though Tampa Bay is a tough matchup, where Davis shines is the passing game, and Tampa Bay has allowed, I think, the sixth most production to running backs through the air. So, I don't love the matchup against Tampa Bay, but at 4K, to get a running back that's going to get 15-plus touches, sign me up.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the matchup's not good. He has not looked good of late. I think he's got 168 yards total or something in his last three starts, but it doesn't at that price. It's just, it's too good to ignore. Chris, anybody else that you're looking at as a cash game value play, or was it really Gibson and you left Davis for tags?
Yeah, so Gibson is the top guy just based on like the news we have, but we have to monitor the situations in LA. Obviously, the Duke Johnson situation with David Johnson, you know, if he's out, then, you know, Duke is gonna get pretty much the entire backfield, regardless of, whether he's efficient or not. So that's another situation.
Also revenge game. Revenge game narrative.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Revenge game. So then of course, I think we think Mixon's going to be back and Miles Sanders is going to be back. But if they're not, you're looking at Boston Scott and Gio Bernard. So really just have to wait and see on some of these weight calls. And then of course you also have Chubb, you know, is he going to be back? Mm-hmm. Then Kareem Hunt jumps into the discussion. Houston's run defense has been, awful. So,
All right, Tags, anybody else you're looking at, or you want to go to wide receiver?
Not really. Running back is such a small pool this week.
Yeah. All right, before we move on, guys, let's talk about Pristine Auction. You know Pristine Auction, okay? They are the ones who supply us with our helmets for each of our giveaways, including the Alvin Kamara helmet that we are giving away right now. This is where you go for sports memorabilia. I legitimately signed in earlier this morning, and it shows me a signed Bo Jackson helmet up for auction. And right below that, a signed Calvin Ridley jersey up for auction. I haven't even gone to the football section. They're just like, here are some awesome typical auctions that we're running today. Enjoy. Sports memorabilia, this is where it is. But like anything you want. My kids love the Marvel movies. A signed Thor and Hawkeye picture on their way. My son is obsessed with Neil Armstrong and landing on the moon. Little Apollo 11 artifacts on their way. Legitimately thousands and thousands and thousands of auctions every single day, whatever you want. And because there are so many daily auctions, the prices are nuts. DJ Chark, signed jersey, $32.76. It's free to register. It's free to browse. It's free to bid. Just go to pristineauction.com. See for yourself. Pristine auction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. All right, let's go to wide receiver then, and let's go to you, Chris. Who's a cash game value play for you?
Okay, so a couple of guys that stand out are Devontae Parker, who's 5K. He should be the clear number one against the Chargers. I know, you know, the Chargers can defend number one receivers, but they haven't been spectacular in DVO. They've been 10th. I think, you know, they'll lean on him. And at 5K, I mean, you're getting a guy who should get this, a similar workload to the guys up there at 6K and beyond. And then another guy is Jerry Jeudy. He is really emerging with Drew Lock, and they're going to get some O linemen back this week in Denver. They should get a couple of O linemen back. And you look at the Raiders, and this is not a very good secondary. And Jeudy is, you know, he's running, like, even though he's playing the slot, he's still running about 85-90% of the routes these days. And they're making it a point to work on the chemistry with him and Lock week in, week out. And this could be a game where both teams score some points. The total is 51. No weather concerns, obviously. So love those two guys in the mid-range.
Tags, thoughts on both Parker, who I believe you said, Chris, was at 5,000, and Jeudy, who is at 5,600.
Yeah.
I definitely don't mind them. There's some other guys in that range that I'm thinking about, like Diontae Johnson at 52. The guy's, I mean, basically seen 10 targets in every full game that he's played. Roethlisberger's injury is something to definitely monitor, with both of his knees reportedly hurting. I don't even know. But Diontae Johnson, his average depth
of target. He's also, by the way, got the COVID situation, of course, which, again, he hasn't tested positive, but he was deemed a close contact, right?
Right,
correct. With Vance McDonald. And sat next to him. So that's, of course, something to monitor.
Yeah, for sure. DJ Moore at 5,100. Moore is not someone I've played this year at all. But the matchup against Tampa, I've talked about the fact that they are not going to run the ball against Tampa Bay. That's not happening. Mike Davis is going to hit a brick wall. So they're going to throw the ball a ton. DJ Moore had success against them last time. 8 catches for 120 yards. So at 5,100, it's tempting. I like Parker there because you think about the Dolphins offense and you're like, where are these targets going to go? They have to go somewhere, right? And like outside of Parker, I don't know if there's another wide receiver, like a Jakeem Grant, maybe, that's going to see 5 targets. But Parker should see a ton of targets. Casey Hayward is a tough matchup, and that's who Parker's going to see most of the day. That's what worries me just a little bit. But I definitely don't mind Devontae Parker.
All right. Very good. Anybody else you guys want to talk about? You want to move on to quarterback?
If you're looking for a really, really, like, you need to save a lot of money because you spent up at other positions, Josh Reynolds at 3,500. I don't think he's the worst play ever. I did the same thing with Kendrick Bourne a couple weeks ago against Seattle. I was like, you know, I need to save tons of money, and he was cheap. Josh Reynolds has seen 22 targets over the last 3 games. That matchup, again, that's another team. The Rams are not going to be able to run the ball like they typically have this year. I think it's going to be one of those games where Goff throws the ball an awful lot. So Josh Reynolds at 3,500, I kind of like.
Okay, good enough for me. Let's go to quarterback now. Let's get to a cash game value play. Go ahead, Chris.
So a value play in cash games, this would be a little different from a value play in tournaments, because in tournaments, I would go way, you know, down cheap. But if we're talking a guy who I think still has like a reasonable floor, I think you have to look at Justin Herbert at 6,600. You know, not the cheapest guy, but look at every game he's played. He's 19.7, 24, 27.4, 41.5, 23.2, and 26.4. Those are his DraftKings point totals. He's been overvalued every single game by an average of 6.78 points per game. And this Dolphins defense, which, you know, had some good numbers on paper. I think they entered last week number 3 in DVOA, but that didn't matter against a guy who can do kind of a dynamic player in Kyler Murray. And I think Herbert, with the weapons he has, is kind of the same situation. And he's even been able to survive some really questionable coaching decisions. So that's the guy I would feel comfortable about with in that tier below, you know, Allen and Murray and those guys.
I will say on a side note, Chris, just because we talked about some spreads, I so desperately want to take the Chargers, getting like 1.5, I believe, from the Dolphins, but I don't know if I could actually pull the trigger on it. I just wanted you to know that because I know we talked about it before because of the coaching. Tags, Herbert, what do you think?
You can't argue against Herbert the way he's played, the floor he's given you every single week. So if you're paying up to 6,600, you need like almost like a locked in performance because you're spending a lot of your money, and then you're going to be forced to like go cheaper at, you know, wide receiver most likely because people don't want to go cheap at running back. I just want to say that the reason I like Herbert, and I probably like this call because I was going to mention Carson Wentz. I was going to say Jared Goff, I think, belong in that conversation. Yeah. But Herbert has given you such a floor. And I told Dan before we started recording today, before Chris even got in the room, that last week, you know, Joe Flacco had basically, he went back in time and turned into elite Joe Flacco again. He scored 20.5 fantasy points in that game. He finished as the number 18 quarterback on the week. That is just stupid to me. Like, it just goes to show you the floor you need for quarterbacks has gone way up. Like, you can't – I remember, and I know that you guys know, we used to go back and look for quarterbacks that were like 4,800. We're like, hey, if they hit 3X, we don't give a crap, you know, because we're going to be able to jam in Le'Veon Bell and Christian McCaffrey. That's basically what we were looking to do, or David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell back in the a couple of years ago. But now we can't do that. So you need a quarterback that has the potential of someone like Justin Herbert and what he's shown kind of every single week. Wentz has been a little bit more hit or miss. You like to think the matchup against the Giants works out just because they continue to pass. The pass catchers are getting healthier and healthier for them. So at 5,900, Carson Wentz is pretty tempting.
Yeah, I like that call as well. On FanDuel, Goff is $600 cheaper than Herbert. So if you're really struggling there, because again, for the spaghetti, whatever it was, spaghetti sauce defense. I think that that's right. I think that Goff, trusting Goff is never fun, but I do think that this is going to be a game.
Goff is interesting. I think like he might be, if he's highly owned in tournaments, I would fade him because the one thing about Seattle is how do you beat them? You throw the ball down the field. And that, like, the Rams just matched up pretty well against Seattle these last few years because they could do that. But this year they've been so in a shell. And I don't know if the matchup is going to really favor them the same way it used to. And then Seattle also has a top 10 run defense. So like the Rams could like uncharacteristically struggle this week. Like, I think it's a little bit of like if everyone's like way too high in the Rams because of last week and the, you know, Buffalo explosion, which I think I was on. I was like, yo, all these Buffalo receivers, John Brown, like all of them. Mm-hmm. But like I could definitely see the Rams going over-owned. So I'm not like worried about Goff because I think he'll still get his yards, but like I think in tournaments that's something to keep an eye on if he's going to be like one of the higher owned QBs.
Yep. All right, let's finish up with our cash game and then we'll get to some tournament plays. Let's do tight end. Who's a cash game value play for you, Chris?
There are actually a couple of guys that you could play for value in cash games. Like they just, none of them really like feel like as safe as Darren Waller, but you look at Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson at 49 and 5,100 respectively. Those two guys are the guys I think have the other top two floors on this slate. And then you look at Dallas Goedert at 4,200. He ran a route on 74% of the dropbacks when he returned. Now that, you know, it didn't really result in a lot of production and Philly is getting healthier, but that may be kind of the best way to invest in Philly's offense at this point, just because you do expect Goddard to, you know, now that he's not as rusty, to continue to kind of ascend again to where he was and where Ertz has been. And then like Austin Hooper, I think at 3,900, the concern is the weather. So that's something to watch. And Hunter Henry at 4,100. So there are options. There's none of them they all pale in comparison to Waller.
What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, I like Hockenson a little bit, but again, he's close enough to Waller where you can probably get there. I'd rather play Waller, but Goddard is the one that if you're looking for a value, I think Goddard's it. I know a lot of people are worried about, you know, the Giants, and they haven't allowed a whole bunch of production to tight ends, but they have seen just two tight ends all season long who have seen more than four targets. We know Philadelphia runs through their tight ends. That's just how it works. Jalen Reagor's out there now. He's going to be able to play that DeSean Jackson stretch the field role. Travis Fulgham has brought enough attention on him. Goddard should be open over the middle of the field, similar to the way that the first time they played, Richard Rodgers actually racked up 6 catches for 85 yards. I do believe that this is a matchup you can target with Dallas Goedert. I have him ranked as a top 5 tight end in redraft leagues, so why the heck wouldn't I play him at 4,200 this week?
Yeah, Goddard is definitely the guy who stuck out for me. That's bold text. I like it. I'm 8th, though. Not crazy. So I think he's certainly a guy to consider. Let's go to GPPs. We're going to start again at running back. So, Chris, give me a GPP play here at running back.
So at running back, I think, you know, we're going to have some clear chalk with Davis and Duke if Johnson's out. So I think that, you know, some of the guys who you can look at kind of in these like middle price tiers between Aaron Jones and those guys at the cheaper end. So one guy is Josh Jacobs at 6,500. He's a guy who, you know, people are going to look at Denver's defense and say, this is not a good matchup. But Denver's defense looks like, you know, Mike Purcell is going to be out. And he's been a major part of their run defense. Without him, you know, they've been getting run on a lot more. and he's out for the season. So yeah, he's definitely out. So Jacobs got 31, I think, carries in that last game. They're clearly willing to feed him. So he's a guy that could easily be the top scorer based on volume. That's really what you're looking for. And then another guy is Leonard Fournette. Fournette is kind of the pass down back. He took over that role from McCoy, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the lead back going forward for Tampa Bay. They didn't run at all last season, so he's probably going to be off people's radars, but he's a guy who can easily get 20 touches. He got 15 carries and 6 targets in the Giants game, and you're playing a bad Carolina defense that can be run on in a game. The Bucs should be ahead and bounce back. And Fournette is a nice pivot off a guy like Gibson, who's $100 more expensive.
Fournette, $5,500 on DraftKings, $6,400 on FanDuel. How about you, Tags? GPP plays at running back.
Yeah, I'm looking up towards the top when people want to play Aaron Jones, rightfully so, and maybe even Alvin Kamara. They mix those guys in. James Robinson's up there. James Conner is just not going to be played. That's basically what it comes down to. And it feels an awful lot like last week, but knowing that James Conner completely busted last week for a lot of guys that played him in tournaments, I expect his ownership to be down a little bit. At $6,900, they're making you pay for it. But when you add in everything, you know, Pittsburgh's coming back home. They're a heavy favorite in this game. I don't know if the Bengals are going to put up a whole lot of points on them. Ben Roethlisberger dealing with the two injured knees or whatever's going on with that. He's not going to have a whole lot of time to practice with the team. James Conner's fresh, coming off a game where he got 6 carries against the Cowboys. So you look at this Bengals defense that's allowed basically like 5 yards per carry. And it's like, all right, James Conner, this could be your crush spot, where it's like he finds the end zone multiple times, catches 3 passes for 30, 40 yards. And so at $6,900, I think that he's definitely in play for tournaments.
All right, let's go to wide receiver. Give me a GPP play at wide receiver, Chris.
In the like normal price range, I think the guy I would look at is Tyler Boyd at $6,400.
Yeah.
I think he'll be under 5% owned. That's what we have him projected at. He's the only receiver with a top 15 ceiling at Fantasy Labs we currently have projected for under 5% ownership. And Pittsburgh, they're not, like, they're a good defense, but they're not complete, like, they're not prohibitive to the point where no one's putting up numbers against them. Last week we saw CeeDee Lamb, who plays a similar role for the Cowboys, put up a good stat line, you know, catch a touchdown with a third string quarterback or fourth string, whatever you want to call him, quarterback. And Tyler Boyd, I mean, there's almost no way he gets above 5% ownership considering, you know, all of the other receivers you have in that price range. And he's a guy that, especially on DraftKings, he can catch, you know, he has that 10 catch upside. And if Cincinnati's playing from behind, it's even better for him. And then a guy in the low end that, you know, it's like a complete dart throw, but I think he will continue to play a majority of the snaps is Cam Sims. Dontrell Inman looks like he's still not practicing. Cam Sims came on as that number 2 receiver, you know, for the Washington football team, and you have a quarterback, and I always watch for these situations. You have, you know, Washington's down to its third string quarterback in Alex Smith, and, you know, just like Kyle Allen, you know, Alex Smith is another guy that probably practices a lot with Cam Sims because, you know, he wasn't on the first team for much of the year. So Cam Sims, the guy who came on last week and really gave them a jolt, and 3 catches for 110 yards. That's that perfect kind of GPP upside you're looking for. He has some yak ability. He has some deep downfield ability. He caught a touchdown 2 games before that. And I'm pretty sure no one will be on him, and he could very well run like all of the perimeter routes on the outside this week for Washington. And Detroit's number, they're giving up the most schedule-adjusted receiving yards per game to number 2 wide receivers.
Tags, before we get into your picks, give me your thoughts on first Boyd and then Sims.
I love the Boyd call. Boyd, I mean, the matchup there against Mike Hilton, I don't even know if Mike Hilton's going to play in the slot. He had to miss last week, so they brought down Cameron Sutton to play. He's a safety that they brought down, and he did not play particularly well. So I do like Boyd an awful lot, and I think people are underestimating him in terms of, like, in every single in DFS and redraft and all that stuff, because there have been just 12 wide receivers this year who have seen at least 8 targets in 62% of their games. Tyler Boyd is one of them. And he's got Joe Burrow. It's like, you know, you think about the Steelers and their blitzing, he's going to need to get the ball out quick. You know, the short average depth of target. I like Boyd quite a bit. I wish his price was down a little bit. He was actually on my list of tournament guys to talk about. So I like that. Sims, I just don't know if that's going to be a high scoring game that I necessarily want to attack. I definitely appreciate the logic behind it. And it's a deep play to dig down. I might look at someone like Jalen Reagor. You know, we talked about Wentz. We talked about the fact that that team throws a lot, even when they're ahead. I think the Eagles have the second highest pass rate in the NFL. Rager is someone that in his first week back in the lineup, he came back before anybody expected. He saw six targets, had one carry in that game. So they want to get him the ball. When you look at Travis Fulgham, he's probably going to be shadowed by James Bradbury, who has done a good job with number ones for the most part. Rager's going to be that field stretcher against Isaac Yiadom. He's terrible. Like, there's no easy way to say this. I mean, he's been terrible, and that's why the Broncos let him go. So I do like Jalen Rager as a tournament play this week.
Yeah, he was definitely on my list. Again, if you're other than Bradbury, you can really exploit the pass defense there. So I really like that call as well. Okay, anybody else we haven't talked about at wide receiver, guys, that you want to bring up, or should we just move to quarterbacks?
Probably Tyler Lockett. I mean, I should probably mention him just because, I mean, I know he's busted in like four of his last five games, like finished outside the top 50 wide receivers, which is why no one wants to talk about him. But DK Metcalf has a much tougher matchup. Darius Williams and Jalen Ramsey have been so damn good on the perimeter for the Rams. So you can beat him in the slot. I mean, Troy Hill is not he's not a great cornerback. So the Seattle Seahawks are smart, and they are, I expect Lockett to have a big game this week.
All right. Let's go to quarterback. Give me a GPP play, Chris.
So this is the time where I think you go down to the bottom of the salary spectrum. And there are actually a number of guys I think that you can play. The first guy I'll talk about is Tua at 5,600. You know, we keep, you know, there's really all this uncertainty there, which I think it plays into the favor of a guy like Tua. Like, we don't really know exactly what he is, but showed pretty well last week. You know, that first game was really rough. And I think, you know, it's always a good idea to kind of bet on these ascending rookies before they really have their breakouts. And one of the things I was most kind of pleased with Tua last week, because I didn't know if he could still move or how well he could move, but 7 carries for 35 yards. I know everyone scrambles on the Cardinals, but that was still encouraging to see, you know, going forward. So like Tua at 5,600. As long as the weather is permitting, I think Jake Luton at 5,400 is a guy who's going to throw the ball down the field in a game where they should, you know, they're projected to be down by two scores. And Drew Locke at 5,500, right in the middle of those two guys, again, getting some old linemen back, getting more chemistry with his receiving core, which is, you know, finally healthy outside of Courtland Sutton. So like all three of those guys, and even the three guys under them, Daniel Jones, always a threat to run the ball. Remember, he had that 80-yarder against Philly. So he's the cheapest quarterback on the slate. I never think that's a bad idea in GPP. He's projected to be 1% owned or less. Alex Smith threw for 300-plus yards against the Giants last week. He's playing Detroit. It's a much worse pass defense. And Nick Mullins, remember, he averages over 8 yards per attempt for his career, and it's a big bounce back spot for San Francisco, who's getting healthier at receiver. So I really like all of the guys priced 5,600 or below in short on DraftKings.
All right, Tags, you've got 13 recommendations right there. Who's your favorite? No, that's all great, by the way, Chris. No, it really is. But Tags, who do you like here as a GPP play?
It would be Goff for me, because, you know, we talked about the cash game plays like Carson Wentz and Justin Herbert. He's sandwiched in between those guys. And while I do like Goff an awful lot, he does have a lower floor. If he's not hitting his marks passing, basically he screws you, because he offers nothing on the ground and there's no floor for that. And that's basically what you're looking for in cash. So I think Jared Goff is a better tournament play at 6,500. He's very easy to stack. So yeah, Jared Goff would be the one I choose.
All right, let's get to tight end, the final position in our GPP play. Who do you have, Chris?
So I think, you know, I mentioned some of them kind of in the cash game. I think they can probably be good tournament plays, like Noah Fant and Hockenson, depending on the ownership, because I think Waller will be like just mega, mega, mega chalk. So and then Goddard will be kind of the chalk on the other end. So Fant and Hockenson stand out, and then Evan Engram and Hunter Henry, just essentially and one more is Eric Ebron. He's a guy who, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and you think about the three receivers, and so I think that kind of keeps people off Ebron, but he's been kind of in the mix, and Vance McDonald went on the COVID list, I believe, so now you're looking at a situation where it could be Ebron that would inherit kind of all of the tight end routes. Zach Gentry has been a healthy scratch this entire year, pretty much, so Ebron is double-digit DraftKings points in three straight. He has two touchdowns over his last two games, and averaging a little over four catches a game over the past three. So he's kind of a sneaky guy as well.
All right, Tags, how about you?
I had Ebron down as someone I liked quite a bit in tournaments. You know, Hockenson. I typically try to stay with tight ends so much. I don't vary my tight end plays very much, honestly. I know some people like to get exposure to so many different ones just in case they miss, but tight end has been just a crapshoot this year, so I'd rather just try and find a guy that I like and stick to him. If you're looking for a dirt cheap play, Gerald Everett at 3,100. Tyler Higbee's not running the routes. They have Everett doing that. He's more of a wide receiver. So when you look at the Seattle defense, and you know, if this game turns into the projected shootout that I think it's going to be, Gerald Everett is someone at 3,100 who gives you a lot of salary cap relief. And if he catches a touchdown, you're happy with it.
All right, let's talk real quick about a DST. Chris Tags almost always just likes to go as cheap as he can,
pretty much
feel like he's not going to vomit when choosing his DST. So who are you looking at this week?
Yeah, that's definitely been the strategy, especially on DraftKings. They're just not pricing DSTs to a point where there's value. So this week, yeah, I think that you look at the landscape, and the DSTs that stick out to me are all below 2,400. I think you could go with Houston against Cleveland again. I just think Baker Mayfield, always a guy that's going to give you some upside for turnovers. You can go with Cincinnati at 2,100. That Steelers offense, I mean, they're 25th in yards per play. They are bottom six in success rate on early downs. This is a 100 above the salary minimum. Definitely could see some things going their way. Ben Roethlisberger has been, I don't know if he's protecting an injury, but even if he plays, like it could be shaky. And if not, you're getting a defense going against Mason Rudolph. So like them. And I think another sneaky one is San Francisco at 2,300. Again, this is one where you look at them and they're getting healthier. They've been really good against the run. So it's going to force Breeze to throw the ball. He's been on the injury report. He had like a cakewalk last week. No one's going to expect it. So they'll be like, they probably won't be owned at all.
How about you, Tags? What are you looking at this week?
I might just go with the Rams. I know it's the worst thing in the world to play someone against the Seahawks. You really don't want to do that, but they're 2,200. They're at home. It's a divisional game. I expect it to be competitive. And while Russell Wilson's going to put up points on the board, I just want a couple sacks. The Seahawks have allowed 24 sacks this year, which is top 10 in the league. They've turned the ball over. Actually, there's been 8 interceptions, which is also one of the higher marks in the league. So it's not to say that Russell Wilson's, unable to throw an interception. It's just 2,200 for that defense, the team that generates a lot of pressure. And that's basically what you're looking for in order to generate turnovers. And that, knowing that they have the perimeter cornerbacks that they do, maybe it slows down the Seattle Seahawks offense just a little bit. But again, this is just comes down to what I have left after constructing the rest of my lineup, because ideally I am spending 2,500 or less on my defense.
All right, let's finish it up. Let's do a stack of the week. Who do you have, Chris?
Stack of the week, I am going with Drew Lock, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant.
Wow.
Are you worried about Fant's ankle? Because they said he re-aggravated that high ankle injury he had.
If for some reason that's an issue, I would pivot to Hamler. Or you could really put it, you could go Hamler or Tim Patrick. Both of those guys played ahead of Deshaun Hamilton last week. But I definitely want some Lock Jeudy exposure. And then you could vary it with the other pass catchers.
Okay.
All right, Tags, how about you? Stack of the week.
I mean, considering how bad the Rams played, they lowered the salaries like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. I can fit Goff, Woods, Kupp, and then even come back with Tyler Lockett on the other side and find a way to make that work in lineups. So I'm gonna attack that game with Jared Goff, his receivers, and grab another play on the other side.
All right, I will say that per the latest practice reports, Noah Fant is reportedly pretty much not quote unquote fully healthy, but pretty much ready to go. So I think we should be safe there. How about Lock of the Week, Chris? Who do you have?
Oh man, Lock of the Week. I will have to go with Mike Davis. He's just too cheap. He's just too cheap at 4K going against Tampa Bay, which is a tough matchup. But you look at his production, and he didn't play Tampa Bay this year, but he's 5 receptions even last game with Christian McCaffrey. And then now he's going to get all of the backfield carries, essentially, maybe Reggie Bonifon. I think he's been activated, gets a couple, but Mike Davis is just way too cheap because we didn't know Christian McCaffrey was going to miss the game.
Yeah. And again, Mike Davis is 4,000 on DraftKings, just a free space. How about you, Tags?
I'm gonna go with Aaron Jones at 7,100. I don't think I can go without playing him in a lineup. In terms of matchup and what he's done in fantasy, his price should be closer to Kamara, around 8,000. But 7,100 is a discount, and enough of a discount where the Packers are putting up 5 touchdowns on that Jaguars defense. It's just a matter of how, and Aaron Jones could have, you know, one of those 3 touchdown games.
Yep. All right. Wonderful. Chris, thanks so much for coming on. Just remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
It was a pleasure, guys. You guys can find me out there on Twitter at Chris Raybon. You can also follow all of my betting picks and prop bets and totals and sides and all that at Chris Raybon on the Action Network app. And you can catch me on the Fantasy Flex podcast every Wednesday and the Action Network NFL betting pod every Thursday.
And although you can reach out to any of us for fantasy advice, if you need to learn anything about like the weekend or like hip stuff, go to Chris for sure. But leave me and Tags alone. Thanks to Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. Go to pristineauction.com. P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down every game.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.